KKFI Kansas City Community Radio, streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Countdown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today, our guests are from Truman Medical Center, Becky Brutsch, if I get it correct. She's a registered nurse and manager of the GI clinic at Truman Medical Center. And then our other guest, Paula, I couldn't remember your last name, Paula.
It's Barbara.
Uh-huh. And you are the
public relations
and marketing with Truman Medical Center.
Yes.
Good morning, ladies. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? We'll start with Becky. How did you become a registered nurse, and how long have you worked at Truman?
Well, I've been a registered nurse for 20 years. I have worked for Truman now, it's a little over 10 years. I love working in GI. I think it's a great outpatient center that we care for patients who have different GI needs and also do procedures such as colonoscopies and preventive maintenance.
When you say GI, it's gastrointestinal for those that may not understand it, which, correct me if I'm wrong, that means the large intestine and the small intestine.
And also we do everything from your esophagus all the way through. So
essentially from the rooter to the tooth, everything in between.
Correct.
Okay. And Paula, how long have you worked at Truman?
Just over a year and a half now.
Okay. So what brought you to Truman?
Just the mission of the organization really spoke to me, and that is why I'm here.
Okay. So, Becky, we're here today to talk about hepatitis. What exactly, and there's many forms of hepatitis, but what exactly is hepatitis?
So hepatitis is an infection of the liver. Hepatitis occurs when the virus gets into the liver and causes inflammation.
How does that virus get into the liver, or how can it get into the liver?
So you can contract hepatitis from acute infections, so blood transfusions. If you've had one before 1992, that's a way that you can get hepatitis C. Then you can also get it from sharing of needles. You can get it from injecting drugs. Those are, if you have diseases such as HIV or AIDS, that's also another risk factor for contracting hepatitis C.
So, Becky, why is Truman doing so much outreach to get people aware about hepatitis?
So hepatitis is a, C in particular, is a curable disease. So we want to get that word out there to the community that get tested. There's treatment for this disease so that we can hope we want to get rid of it in the population.
Okay. So, Paula, Truman has done a lot of outreach, but how many different places can you go look at and get information about hepatitis that Truman is working with right now?
You can go to any of our primary care locations and our UH on the go locations, or you can call 816-404-7410 to get more information or to get information about how to be screened.
And how many different, I know I was doing some research, how many different, there's 11 different locations, correct me if I'm wrong, from Hospital Hill to Green Valley to even the High B on 4545 Nolan Road, where people can go and get screened and get tested for that.
Yes, that's correct. 11 locations and the UH on the goes in Independence.
Okay.
And walk-ins are welcome.
Well, we're mainly going to talk today about hepatitis C, but I wanted to briefly, Becky, exactly How many types of hepatitis are there?
So there are hepatitis A, B, C. Those are the primary ones. There are a couple other hepatitises, but the hepatitis C is something that we are treating and screening patients for, but you can also be screened for the other forms of hepatitis.
Of these types of hepatitis, which one is the most deadly?
So the hepatitis C, if you are not treated and for it, it can cause you to have a liver failure. You can also get liver cancer. So those are definitely hepatitis C, something that it could kill you.
So does hepatitis C mainly impact the liver, or does it impact the rest of the gastrointestinal tract also?
Mainly it impacts the liver. That's the main thing that it impacts.
And if anybody, I know if you're drinking a lot of alcohol, then that impacts the liver also, but a lot of people may not know that the liver is the one, it's not like your kidneys where you have two. You only have one liver, and if you go into liver failure, there's no recovery from that. There's no dialysis. There's nothing else that you can do, with the exception of, correct me if I'm wrong, a transplant.
Correct. And you have to get, you know, to a certain level of failure before you would even qualify to
get on the transplant list.
Right.
What is the process when we talk, since it affects the liver, what does the liver do in our body that we really need it so badly?
So the liver filters out toxins in our body.
I know it filters the blood. It's kind of like a coffee strainer.
True.
That catches everything, and then it sends those impurities out of the body through your urinary system.
Correct.
Let's see. I know briefly we want to talk about, and when I was doing this research, hepatitis B. And hepatitis B can be also discussed as maybe a sexually transmitted disease, correct?
Correct. Also, if you are born, your mother can pass it to you. So you can, women often in other countries, their children are born with hepatitis B.
Now, is hepatitis B curable like hepatitis C? I know some of the information I read that it is manageable, but there is no cure for hepatitis B.
Correct. We do test patients for hepatitis B.
And then one of the other things that I read, two amazing things, that hepatitis B is considered a sexually transmitted disease, but it's also 50 to 100 times easier to transmit sexually than HIV. That was kind of an interesting wow factor. But then the other side is that hepatitis B is the one thing that there is a vaccination for that help people prevent from getting hepatitis B.
Absolutely. So we give vaccines to our patients who come in to the GI department, screen them for that, and then we will vaccinate them also.
So is the test for hepatitis B the same as the test for hepatitis C?
So it is a blood test, very simple blood test. They can check you for the antibody.
And about how long does it take for that blood test, from the time they draw your blood, for them to get you back? How long does it take for the hospital to get the results back once they've drawn your blood and analyzed your blood?
24 hours. We can check your blood for either hepatitis B, hepatitis C. And when it comes back, if it comes back that you are positive, then we ask you to come in to get further testing so that we can check to see which, because there's different genotypes or of the different strains. We ask them to come in to get more blood work to follow up so we know how to treat them.
So our intern, Marvita, here had a question. Marvita, go ahead. What's your question?
When you were talking about the vaccine, if people are traveling, would they get vaccinated for? Do they get a hepatitis vaccination if they're traveling abroad or anything like that?
I'm really not sure about, but you know, vaccinate like children now. They are recommended that all children get the hepatitis B series. It's a series of three injections that are over a 6-month period. So I encourage, even if you aren't traveling, anyone, if you've never been vaccinated, definitely go to your primary care physician and get that series done.
So what are some of the risk factors that can increase your chances of contracting hepatitis C?
So some of the risk factors, if you've ever injected drugs, if you were born between 1945 and 1965, that age group is at a higher risk for hepatitis C. So we encourage anyone within that age range to get it, whether they have any of the risk factors. But then if you also are not in that age range, but you have some other, like you've used drugs, have other chronic liver disease, and or have HIV or AIDS, have ever been exposed to someone, exposed to blood from a person with who has hepatitis C, you've drawn dialysis, or if your mother had hepatitis C, those are reasons to get screened.
Why is it, does medical science know yet, why is it that it essentially is impacting people between 1945 and 1965? It's just a 20-year span right there that there's a number of people that they're finding out that have hepatitis C.
So during that time period, if you had a blood transfusion during that time period, then definitely the blood at that time was not screened. Tattoos were prevalent during that time period.
In fact, maybe there was not as much sanitary importance based on needles and different things like that.
Correct.
So, can I get this question I want to ask? Is it, can you tell if I had a sister or brother, could I sit and tell if they had hepatitis by looking at them, or is it something, are there some signs that I may be able to look at or may know about?
So oftentimes, if you have hepatitis C, you're not aware. You know, you as a patient feel the same, and you, the person you're sitting next to, you have no idea. Advanced liver problems, if you've ever seen someone who has yellow, their eyes are yellow or their skin is yellow, then that would be a sign that they have some type of liver trouble, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have hepatitis C. So it's one of the diseases that as a person you don't know that you have. So a lot of times people don't want to get screened because they're like, well, I feel fine. But this is something that will impact your liver over time if you don't get it treated.
Well, okay, and I like that question, you know, can you look at someone? Are there things that you can do health-wise, you know, preventative things besides not using dirty needles? But I mean, as far as just things you can do to maybe detox yourself or, you know, eat healthy, are there certain diets that help to support the liver function?
Foods, rather. Right. I mean, to prevent yourself from getting hepatitis C, there's not really anything that you can do besides staying away from these risk factors that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely a healthy diet, you know, is always good for yourself as a whole person, you know, mm-hmm. staying away from fatty foods, you know, heart healthy diet is always a great thing.
Mm-hmm. So I know you guys are medical, mm-hmm. but a lot of the detox type things that they have introduced, like drinking a lot of grapefruit or, you know, mixtures and stuff like that. Are those the types of things that doctors are learning about as well, as they also, you know, look into ways to
alternative treatment?
Yeah, educate people about healthy, you know, healthy liver, healthy being preventative.
It's not anything that I'm really familiar with, mm-hmm. but again, I think that a healthy diet, exercise is always a great avenue to go down because that supports a healthy lifestyle in general for mm-hmm. your body.
Okay, so you can't look at somebody by telling them. The only thing they can do is get the blood test. Mm-hmm. What are some signs and symptoms that somebody may have hepatitis? I know if you have diabetes, you know, it's thirst, that you are, you know, you have excessive thirst, things like that. So what are some of the signs and symptoms that a person may need to look at if I'm having, you know, two or three of these signs and symptoms, I may need to get myself checked out?
So some of the symptoms that can occur when someone has just been exposed to the virus, they can feel, have a fever, tired, not wanting to eat. Their urine can be dark, joint pain, and like I said, yellow skin. But again, I want to reiterate that that is not the most, most patients do not have any symptom.
So we're going to ask our callers, if you've got any calls for our Truman Medical Center nurse expert on hepatitis C, give us a call on the studio line 1-816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFR. So we can't tell by looking at it, and we've said it's, can hepatitis be a virus type of situation, or just has to be in, you have to come in contact with somebody from that shared bodily fluid?
Correct. Correct. So you have to come in contact with a person or an infected needle or their body fluid.
Can hepatitis C be cured?
Yes. So within the past few years, they've come out with medications that are greater than 90% cure rate.
And how long would it have, how long would the person have to take those medications in order to be cured of hepatitis C?
So these medications, they can range from an 8-week to 3 months, and some patients require a little bit longer, just depending upon their virus type that they have. But these medications, you just take by mouth, very few side effects. As long as the patient takes it every day and follows up on their lab work, we have seen great success in curing patients of their virus.
As we look at Kansas City, and we have a lot of, we have people that may be using drugs and different things, do we have a huge hepatitis population in Kansas City, people that are infected with hepatitis?
I don't know the exact number, but there is a large population of patients who have hepatitis C, and they're just not aware of it.
Okay. So if a person, hold on, our coordinator who helps me with all of these, Leslie Carlita, wanted to ask a question. Yes, Leslie, go ahead.
Hi. So I think one of the interesting things about hep C, it seems daunting, right? We're talking about a disease that can attack your liver and kill you. But now there is a cure, and it's an easy cure. And I know I've talked to a lot of patients who have had this treatment and are cured of hep C. And one of the things they said was they've known they've had hep C for a while, but they were, it was so daunting, the previous treatment. So I think it's important to, for people who may have that idea that their doctor maybe 15 years ago told them, you've got hep C and there's you need to have this treated. I think that, as Becky said, those recent advancements have made such a difference. I mean, the side effects from previous treatment, correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, were pretty severe, and there wasn't 100%, there wasn't a guarantee that you were going to be cured after you went through a really long treatment with pretty severe side effects. But thanks to the marvels of modern medicine, there really is hope. So I think that people may be, it's never good, it's always, I think patients are always a little scared, right? Mm-hmm. But the treatment is so much better than it was, and I think that's something really positive to point out. A lot of people hesitate to find out what's going on with their health because of the fear of what they're going to find out, but I just like telling the story of free hep C testing because I think that there is so much hope, and the treatment is effective with minor, I'm told, side effects. I also think that Truman does a great job. Paul, you might want to pop in here if you're someone with limited resources.
Yeah, that was great. So, Paula, can you tell us about that? I know Truman has many different discounts and different things, but what if, well, first, if I don't have health insurance, but everybody should, but maybe I'm homeless or I'm in between jobs and I've lost my health care insurance, can I still be seen in Truman?
Yes, we definitely would be able to see you. We encourage patients in that situation to go through our financial counseling center first before they're seen, and we have different options and payment plans that we can help you with to get started on being treated. But I did want to just reiterate what Leslie said, that we are offering free hep C screenings throughout December right now at any of our 11 locations, and that's for first-time people that have never been tested, and we're happy to test them at any of our locations. And just to also tag on to what Leslie said about people being afraid. We're here. We want the community to know that we understand their situation and we're here for them and we can help them through this.
And in some cases that you have the one in, say, the Hy-Vee, you don't have to run down the hospital hill. You can go do your shopping at Hy-Vee. You can get your blood taken before you go start shopping, and it'll be a done process by the time you're in the shop, and then somebody will give you a call back in the next couple of days and let you know what your results are, correct?
That's correct. We have many patients that do that very same thing.
I know, because a lot of people sit and say, I've got so many other responsibilities, work 8 through 5. So are those clinics in the Hy-Vee, are they open other than 8 to 5? Are they open from, like, say, 9 to 9, how Hy-Vee is open, or what are those hours?
Yes, they're open till 9 Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, 8 to 5.
So 7 days a week, and that means you have no excuse not to be able to get tested. So even if you're just running into Hy-Vee, say the game is on Sunday, you can run into Hy-Vee, grab some extra chips, get your blood drawn, and be back home before halftime is over with.
That's
correct. In December.
Yes. So I know. So if you're looking for a definite, you can run out. You know, you can leave a couple minutes before the halftime starts, run over to Hy-Vee, get your blood drawn, and then turn around and be back home before the halftime is even over with.
That's correct.
So what you've expanded, usually there's Hospital Hill. So there's Truman Hospital Hill. Then you have Truman Lakewood West, but this time you now have 11 different areas where you are looking to try to help people. So what was the impact of that community partnership to put that together where you had so many locations? I know because we now have fast-paced lives and we're trying to get everywhere, but now you're meeting your people where they are instead of having people come to you.
That's correct. We want to be in the community where people live. We want neighborhood clinics so that people don't have to travel very far to get health care. And that is why we're in the outlying areas in Kansas City.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention this, that it's a new community health center that you put there at the Linwood YMCA. So right there off of 31st and Mercington, it's right on the bus line. You can go to the YMC, go for your workout, get your blood drawn, and somebody will let you know when you come back in the next day to work out again.
That's correct.
So Truman is essentially positioning themselves to meet people where they are, because I know one of the things that people used to complain about, that now they still have that old perception, like you were saying, like with the hepatitis, but it's no longer there, that you would go to Truman and you'd have to wait all day long. But now there are so many different places where you can go to a Truman clinic that you can be in and out in less than an hour.
That is correct. We are really aiming to have same-day appointments or next-day appointments and very little wait time.
So if somebody had a question, does Truman have a nurse line where they could call somebody and ask that question to get information about what would be, you know, about getting tested or other different things, or if they had a question? So is there a number that you may be able to get out for people for the nurse line that they can call and ask questions?
Well, for our Hep C screenings, they can call 816-404-7410.
Okay. And I know the general number, if you've got other questions for Truman, it's 816-404-1000, and the operator will connect you to anywhere within Truman that you need to be connected to.
That's correct.
So I know
Are you finding a lot of people are knowing about these locations and are coming there, and are you finding a lot more people are signing up for these tests?
Yes, we are. We have increased patient population at our outlying community care clinics, and the awareness and the education that we're doing out in the community has really increased the testing of patients.
When you say education, are you speaking to community groups? You have literature? How does that happen?
Yes, we partner with many community groups, and we share the information with them and their clients to get people tested.
Mm-hmm. I know diabetes is one of those diseases that affects primarily people of African-American and Latino descent. Sickle cell is one of those diseases that primarily affects those of African-American. Does hepatitis C affect just one population type, or is this something that doesn't discriminate and it goes across the border?
It absolutely does not discriminate. It can be anyone from any descent. So it's that's why we encourage everyone who falls within that age category or has any of those type of risk factors to come and get screened.
And that is important to know the risk factors, because if you have those risk factors, then you definitely need to be treated, because this is a disease that is curable. And as you said, right now the cure is not as bad, is vastly improved from what it was 10 years ago.
Yes, so just the cure, the treatment before, some patients wouldn't even finish it because they couldn't tolerate the side effects. So now this, I mean, we have very few patients that do not complete their treatment. These patients, they take their medications, they feel good, they can go throughout their day, go to work, do their normal activities, and not feel impacted by these medications. And so it's definitely increasing our success rate in the amount of patients that are getting cured and being treated.
I know, Paula, we were speaking earlier about you all's outreach. I'm a former neighborhood president, so do you all go to neighborhood meetings and get presentations at neighborhood meetings? And if would it be possible, if they're doing presentations, to also do blood draws, or would that not be possible? I know there was one event I went to in Kansas City where they were doing information sessions, but they were also testing different people for different things. So would that be something to be possible at a neighborhood meeting? Or say if they were having a function at one of the police campuses where there were a health outreach?
We can definitely do the outreach portion. For the testing, we prefer patients to come to the location, just because it is a blood test and it's a little bit different than just taking your blood pressure. So we have all the supplies at each of the locations to have those blood draws taken.
But also to make sure, since it's a blood and it's a body fluid, that it's in an environment that if something does happen, it won't, if some of the spill, the materials and supplies right there to take care of it, which you may not have when you're out in the community.
That's correct.
Okay. So that's definitely a good thing to understand and know, that you can call you all and have you all come and present at a neighborhood meeting or another community function, but you just can't. You have to come in to one of your 11 locations, which is the way in which you're setting yourself up now. It's like a Dollar General. I can't go more than about a mile without running into one of your locations, because I leave Truman Hospital Hill, and then I get to the next one, which is right there off of 31st Street. And then if you just keep going straight out 40 Highway, you'll run into one about every 2 or 3 miles.
That's correct.
Joseph, I'm going to butt in again because I'm going to get in trouble. So Hospital Hill is historically what we're known as, but we are we are now the Health Sciences District. So if you hear us referred to as Truman Medical Centers, if you have an appointment and they tell you it's at the Health Sciences District, that is what is formerly known as Hospital Hill. And that's just to realign us and with UMKC Schools of Medicine and Children's Mercy, that whole area is the Health Sciences District. So just so if people hear that, they know that that is what is formerly known as Hospital Hill.
And you also forgot about the UMKC School of Dentistry, which is right there, which leads into it. So, I mean, it's... School of Nursing, School of Doctors, School of Dentistry, and Children's Medical Care, Children's Health Care, Children's Mercy, which essentially on one location you can teach, you can do children, adults, teeth. You also have the Eye Care Foundation in the back and Behavioral Medicine right in the back, so you can essentially go from A to Z right there in one location with all your appointments. And then I think you all were still, you open up the little few, there's like a little place where you can buy food across the street, especially in the summertime, where they have the mobile market and grocery market right there.
It's a really exciting place to be. I noticed that when I drive in every morning. I'm not a Kansas City native, and when I moved here about 15 years ago, one of my complaints was, there's nobody walking around. Where is everybody? We're a very... we're not a very out-and-about sometimes group. But when I drive in every morning in the Health Sciences District, you see all your nursing students, and they're all young and excited, and they really are the future of healthcare, and the young residents and the pharmacy students. It's just exciting, and it's a nice, exciting place to be. There are food trucks that line homes, and there's just a good feel. And it truly is the future of healthcare, which is exciting.
So we're going to have to take a short station break. So you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson, and our intern, Marvita, is here. And we're talking about today hepatitis. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break. And we're back. You're listening to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And today we're talking with Truman Medical Center, Becky Birch. She's the nurse manager of the gastrointestinal clinic at Truman Medical Center. And then we have Paula, who is over the, she's with marketing and publicity at Truman Medical Center. So go ahead. You had a question, Marvita. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been hearing so much about all these different locations, and I was just wondering if we could maybe get some of them, a list of some of them, so that if listeners are wanting to go and get tested, which we would encourage them to do, where can they go get tested?
Yes, at either of our hospital locations at the Health Science District and the GI Clinic or our Lakewood GI Clinic. We also have our primary care clinics, Fairmont, Green Valley, Raytown, and we have a pavilion at Lakewood and at our Health Sciences District. You can also get tested there. And then, of course, our UH on the go and our University Health Community Care Clinic at Linwood.
And can they get the addresses for those if they go online?
Yes. They can go to our website at trumed.org. That's TRUMED.org. Or again, call 816-404-7410.
Thank you.
And also, at trumed.org, they can make an appointment to get screened for hepatitis C. So instead of maybe having to call a doctor, they can go right online to trumed.org, put in all their information, and make that appointment the easier without having to call down, correct?
Yes, and they can always walk in also during our hours. We'll do walk-ins.
So you'll do walk-ins. So you can do walk-ins, and then you can also turn around at the same time and go to trumed.org. So are walk-ins available at any of the clinics?
Yes, they are available. When they come in, what they should expect is that they'll meet with the nurse and they will go over what the process of, okay, what hepatitis C is. They'll get some 5-10 minute worth of education. Then they'll get their blood drawn, and then they'll be on their way. Within 24, 48 hours, we'll have those results back, and they will be getting a phone call letting them know what those results are.
We've got a caller on line one. Joanne, can you tell us what part of town you're calling from and what your question is for?
South Kansas City. When I was young, there was a term jaundice, and I don't hear that anymore. Where does that fit into the current terminology?
So jaundice is a term that means that the skin is yellow. And so some patients who have liver trouble, they can also often get jaundice, which means their skin can turn yellow, and also their eyes, the whites of their eyes can be yellow.
But is that a hepatitis form?
So it can be caused by hepatitis, but it also can be caused by other liver conditions, like cirrhosis, which is when you have some liver failure or liver cancer. So it's not always indicative of having hepatitis C.
Oh, so it would be classified as C if it were jaundice. I mean, if it were hepatitis.
So, jaundice is not. Jaundice is not specific to hepatitis C. It can be from any type of liver issues that they have, whether it's liver failure. So, it's having yellowing of the skin just means that your liver is not functioning the way it should.
Well, I got it right after. I dated this particular boy, so I just have a feeling that it probably fits into, I think doctors, whenever I've been to doctors, they've classified it as a form of hepatitis, but I just wasn't sure, you know, exactly how that would be classified. But I think when I've said jaundice in my reports, the doctors have considered it as a hepatitis form.
Okay, yes, and definitely, you know, if you would like to get screened, we'd be glad to do that. If you want to come to one of our locations, we'd be glad to talk with you further about that.
Okay, well, I'm not worried about it at this age. That was many, 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 many years ago, but I just thought maybe there was a particular place slot where it would go. Okay, well, thanks.
Thank you.
I know I just following up just recently having a going to the doctor and getting cleared. It is just such a relief, especially if you're going because you're having symptoms of one thing or another. But go, you know, if I'm not speaking to this caller in particular, but for anybody out there, if there's something that your body is letting you know is something you need to check out, check it out. There's so many places now that you can go that either have sliding scales or are free. Truman is letting us know all the month of December we can come and get this hepatitis check. So if there's something that you have a question about, or even if you don't and you're just like, well, let me just make sure anyway, you know, it's such a relief to get that negative. It may be weird, like your results were negative. Okay, is that good or bad? Yes, that's good. If your results are negative. So if anybody out there is having some kind of issue, go and check it out. And I think this is something that you guys want us to know, that you have the facilities to receive those patients, and it's a quick test, and you'll feel much better after it's done.
I know sometimes people, fear can keep people from going to get seen, you know, the stigma and different things. But as Mavita was saying, it's better sometimes an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure. That it may be jaundice, it may just be something else, but it, you know, we all want to live a long, healthy, happy life. And part of that is taking care of the body that we have, because we only have one body. So, you know, it's important for people to go out and get screened, even if you may not think that you have it. But if you fall within that window, then you should have it. You should get tested and screened for it.
Absolutely. Even though if you're listening and you say, I don't have any of those risk factors, where I've had tattoos or used needles or those sort of things, if you're born between 1945 and 1965, we encourage everyone to get screened within that age range. And it's just a simple blood test, and there's, you know, and the if you are positive, we have so many medications out on the market now, and they're with great cure rates and very low side effects.
I did have one question. So say you do go to get a checkup, and it's like I don't know what they call it, but a full checkup. Is that an automatic, will there be an automatic screening for hepatitis, or do you have to specifically ask for the hepatitis screening?
So your primary care physician that you would go to get, you know, a physical or something like that, that should be included, but I always encourage patients to ask for those sorts of things. Always ask for your flu shot. Always ask for, you know, all those wellness screenings, your mammograms, your colonoscopies, all those things, just to, those are things that will keep you well. And so it's always important to keep in mind those wellness activities.
And what you said was very important, and that's to ask. And quite frankly, you might not know what to ask. So it really helps if you learn to start a dialogue with your primary care physician. And don't be afraid to say what might sound stupid. But, you know, just go ahead and talk about what your body is showing you so that they can have a better frame of reference. And they can also involve you more in the care. And so it's always best to ask those questions and to learn what questions to ask as well.
And I will add to that, if you're having signs and symptoms, today the doctor comes in, he's on the schedule. Write down things at home that you're working on, so then when you go into the doctor, you can say, this is what I'm experiencing, this is what I'm experiencing. You're being an active participant in your health care plan, and you're helping the doctor ensure that he is doing the right plan for you, because doctors come in, if you don't tell them, well, you know, 20 years ago I had a tattoo, they are not going to know the test for that. You know, now let me ask this question. When we talk about tattoos, even though we're only looking at a 20-year span, is this something that people today, I go so many places and I see so many people with tattoos, you know, is that one thing that when you go to get a tattoo, you want to see them open up clean materials, that it's, you know, that's important to that because there still could be a possibility that you could get hepatitis, correct?
Correct. If they haven't cleaned the instruments properly, just because it's opened in a sterile pack doesn't necessarily mean that it was cleaned appropriately. So it's always good to research the person that's doing your tattoo. You know, what is their, talk with them about those. How do they clean them and sterilize the instruments? Even the current, when you go to get a tattoo.
And one thing that we haven't talked about, but people need to think about, is that, you know, grandchildren may come over to see grandparents, and the grandparents were born within that period, and the grandchild, well, I just left my toothbrush at home. Well, go ahead and use mine. And that is a way that you could unknowingly spread hepatitis to your grandchild. So, you know, if better for them not to brush their teeth or, you know, go to the dollar store and have a couple extra toothbrushes on hand, i.e. also if you, you know, people, well, I'll just use your toothbrush this morning and keep going. No, everybody needs to have their own toothbrush, not sharing toothbrushes, correct?
Absolutely. You know, that is one way that you can transmit it. And we always, if you are in a relationship, you know, your husband and wife, if one person has hepatitis C, the other does not, we tell them that, you know, you need to use protection because you can transmit that to your partner.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
And as far as the, I don't want to skip over that last part, but as far as the toothbrush, is the reason because your gums may be bleeding?
Correct.
And that's the transmission, not the fact that you're, it's the blood.
It's the blood.
Right? Okay.
Well, blood, and then also, as you were saying, it's other blood and other blood and bodily fluids. So it can be transmitted in any bodily fluid, if I'm understanding what you were saying and from the research I did, correct?
Correct.
But also, you know, you have razors, you've got nail clippers, right. You know, and then this is another one, you know, people may share diabetes supplies. And, you know, if you're going to do something like that, you know, you at least change out the lancet. You don't use that same lancet, you know, because a lot of our older people do have diabetes or sugar, as they call it. And, you know, coming over, we'll just check, I need to check it, and they might have forgot the meter. You need to make sure that you wipe it down with alcohol, but also use a clean lancet.
Yes.
So anything that can come into contact with blood or bodily fluids should not be something that needs to be looking at exchange. Correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So as we start to wind down here, you know, hepatitis C can be prevented. It can be treated. The treatment now is they're significantly enhanced and better than what they were 20 years ago. But, you know, what do people really need to know about hepatitis that they need to double check and always be aware of?
So, you know, again, hepatitis is, and then it's a virus that's impacts the liver. So when you get the virus, you oftentimes will not have any symptoms. So you may have come in contact with it 5-10 years ago, never had any symptom to know that I have the hepatitis. Again, we want some symptoms that you can have, but these are not common, is you could have a fever, feel tired, upset stomach, dark urine, yellowing of the skin. When you want to get tested for hepatitis C, all you have to do is come into one of our locations, and we'll get a blood draw. Our nurse will talk with you about what to expect, and then you should be out the door in 20 minutes. We'll call you in 24 to 48 hours to give you those results.
Now, let me ask this question. If somebody wanted to be screened for all the types of hepatitis, can you use that same blood sample, or would you need to have 4 to 5 blood samples to test for A, B, C, D, and E?
So as long as we plan ahead of time, we can take that same sample of blood and check for all those different hepatitis types.
So is that something when people come to Truman that Are they screening just for hep C, or do they routinely screen for all of them at the same time?
So during this time period where we're offering the free screenings for hepatitis C, we're just screening for that hepatitis C. But we would be happy to make an appointment and go over that with you and also get that screening done.
Okay. So that's something that you can planning ahead helps you manage your health care plan and get the maximum input out of it. So if you would have looked at wanting to be screened for all of them, you know, let your primary care physician know, let the person know so they can make sure they're right at the same order. So you can get five tests for the same amount of blood that you'd be using in one test. So it's definitely things that people need to know. So are there people, as we talk, can you reiterate that class of people that should get tested for hepatitis C so that people will know that if I am within this protected class, that I need to be really treated, I need to be tested for hep C?
So anyone who's born between 1945 and 1965, that is the everyone, no matter what risk factors you have, we recommend that you get tested. If you've received donated blood or an organ transplant before 1992, if you've ever injected drugs, or even if it was just once or many years ago, if you have certain medical conditions such as HIV or AIDS, ever been exposed to someone exposed to blood from a person who has hepatitis C, if you're on dialysis, or if you're born to someone who, a mother who had hepatitis C.
So these are the things that if you fall into any of these categories, you definitely should be tested. Mm-hmm. So, and there, as we said, the treatments are way better now than what they would be. But also, if you, they may have told you you may have had it, come back and get treated for it. You know, because, correct me if I'm wrong, getting treated for it will improve your quality of life. You will get rid of some of the things you may have said, fatigue and tiredness. Getting treated for it will help those symptoms go away.
Yes, and if you also, you have hepatitis C, you were told 10 years ago you have hepatitis C, as years pass, it can cause liver damage. So the longer that you have it in your liver, the greater risk of that liver damage.
And that can shorten, that liver damage can prematurely shorten your life.
Absolutely.
But also, folks, why this is important, because unfortunately in Kansas City, where you live impacts how long you live, and the area around Truman Medical Center is known as the heart of the city, and people that reside in the heart of the city have it, on average, if you go from the highest, the places where people in Kansas City have the highest life expectancy to the heart of the city, in some cases, that can be a 12-year difference. And it can be one of those particular things that people need. They're thinking, well, I don't have the money. I can't get tested. Truman will work with you. But you're only going to increase your quality of life. And you could possibly spare passing it on to one of your children or grandchildren because you know what these signs and symptoms are and what things you need to do and what things you don't need to do. So we've got a caller. Hold on 1 second here. We've got a caller. Jake, can you tell us what part of Kansas City you're calling from and what your question is?
South Kansas City, Missouri, and a quick thanks to all of you for being helped in so many ways. Just a question about the availability of the shingles vaccine, like in the metropolitan area or the national supply. I think have things improved in the last month? I know there was a tremendous shortage.
So I am not familiar with the shingles vaccine. That is something you would get at your primary care physician. But definitely
sure.
Our University Health on the Go clinics would be a great location for you to go to talk with one of our providers at one of those clinics about the vaccination.
Okay, I was just curious about the availability, whether, you know, any of you guys had any knowledge of, you know, what the supply chain was like, what kind of shape it was in now.
No, I know. Okay. Thank you so much, Jake.
Okay, thank you guys.
For what people may not know, shingles is a virus that is caused by chickenpox that can lay dormant in the body, and they now have a vaccination that helps protect you against shingles. So, and if you... It's kind of that same window. If you turn 50, you're right in that window, then they're because during that time the vaccinations for chickenpox weren't that good, so they're now asking people to come back and get a shot, because even if you had it at 10, you can still pop up with shingles. So that's another thing to check for. That's why it's so important to be able to be on top of your medical care and your medical treatment, but also be a part of that team that is working to keep you healthy.
And that's why we want to thank you guys for coming, because you put that, you know, the information out there. It causes people to think. We're talking about hepatitis C and A and B, but at the same time, when people start thinking, they realize, hey, you know, let me find out how I'm doing. Let me do what I need to do to check and make sure everything's all right. So I want to thank Jake for calling. that lets us know the broadcast is reaching people and we're causing people to think, and I think that's what's going to make the difference, to get them from inside the home or at work or wherever they are and over to your clinics. Checking out that website again. What was that website once more?
Yes, it's trumed.org, and that's trumed.org.
And we're just about running out of time, so can you read it? You've given the website, but also can you give that number where people can call also if they want to call in and get some more information?
Yes, it's 816-404-7410.
I would like to thank Becky and Paula for being our guests today on Cowtown Conversations, but we never in Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. I would like to say thank you and a job well done to Dr. Bedell, Superintendent of Kansas City, Missouri Schools, East High School staff, and the students of East High School for the student-led mayoral forum that they did last night at East High School. They asked some very pointed questions about economic development east of Truce, police brutality, education, and tax incremental financing policy. They want to know how the next mayor will impact policies that will affect their education in their neighborhoods. For those of you that are interested in housing, the next City of Kansas City Housing Meeting will be held this Saturday, December 8th at South Patrol from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Your feedback is needed and very much wanted to help shape the housing plan for the next 5 years in Kansas City. Lastly, but very importantly, the Kansas City Public School District Board of Directors will host School Board School on Saturday, December 8th, 2018 from 8 a.m. to noon, and on Thursday, December 13th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., both sessions will be held at the Board of Education Building, 2901 East Truce Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri. This is an information and training event for those interested in running for a seat on the Kansas City Public School Board of Directors in the April 2nd, 2019 election. And I will say this, as a former member of the school board, and I was in the first class of school board school, you go there thinking you can tell the superintendent all these different things, but people need to understand the role of the board is policy. They have one employee who's the superintendent. They direct him in getting policy, and he's the one overseas. And that is the one thing that people need to understand is gone are the days where the board did things that they used to do. And we have a superintendent, and the district is moving up. So if you're interested, it's an unpaid job. It doesn't pay money, but it pays much in experience. And I'm still connected with the district today because I'm a mentor at one of the middle schools of a seventh grader. So for Cowtown Conversations, I've been your host, Joseph Jackson. Have a great day, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
90.1 FM, KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
90.1 FM, KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.